All right. Hello and welcome.
Welcome
to Sweet Sweet Death. I'm Heather.
And I'm Laura.
And so it's been a little crazy. I think you should start this off because you probably have.
Mercy.
Yeah.
I guess. Kind of.
Definitely. I have my version of events, my viewpoint of how it happened. And okay. I think, but the journey begins with you.
Yeah. So basically, Heather thought I was dead because I think it was like a week ago officially. I lost my phone, my wallet, you know, my life.
Everything.
Yeah. No. So I went skating, but not at Skate City, just like at a park by my house. And there's a parking lot, and literally it's like not even that far, like maybe like the house across the street to here.
Yeah.
Like I could see my car.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to leave my purse in there. It'll be fine. You know, I can see it.
That's fair. Did you also then lock it?
My car doesn't lock.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So, and like thinking back, I have a lockbox in my car and I should have just put like my phone and wallet in there. Don't know why I didn't. I just figured because like my car was so close, like no one's gonna go in it, like they'll see me here.
Yeah.
And then
was that assessment accurate?
No. So, and then I also hid it under a Clue box because I have the game Clue in my car from like a game night.
Oh, okay. Literally, I thought that was just something you kept in your car, maybe.
No. Literally months ago. And I don't know, now that I think about it, it's like kind of funny because I put my purse under the Clue box and it's like, oh.
Like, ooh, it's a sign. Maybe there's a clue under there. And they were like, ooh, they clued me into stealing all this shit.
Yeah. And yeah, so I got back to my car and I immediately knew because like I go to like open my, because I put it in the back and I can just see my purse like and everything like pulled out of it. I was like, oh no.
Yep.
And yep, phone, wallet gone. I was like, great. So then unfortunately, like everything, like to do anything, you need your phone.
Nowadays,
they're like, oh, to confirm it's you, when I called Chase, we're going to send you a code on your phone. I'm like, I don't have my phone.
Yeah.
They're like, motherfucker, it's gone. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just like really like stressful kind of. And then thankfully I'm broke and thankfully I had like a $500 limit on like, on my Chase card, there's a $500 limit. Like if I try to spend more than $500 in a day, it'll like deny it unless like, and then it'll send me a text to my phone like, did you try to do this? And if I hit yes, then I can like do it again and like do the transaction. But they tried to spend $502 at Target.
Oh,
yeah. And then they got my credit
by $2.
Yeah. Thank God. And then they, and I had just got paid that day too.
Ooh, yes.
Because I get paid every other Thursday. And so then it declined. So then they tried to use my Capital One credit card, which has a $500 limit, like max.
Yeah.
So it also declined. And then after that, I think they were like, fuck this broke bitch. Yeah. And they just like threw my fucking wallet or whatever. And it was so weird because like they stole my shit. And then like that night, like it's like 10 o'clock at night or something. And I'm like sitting in my room and my roommate comes up and he's like, Laura, your dad just called and the police station has your stuff. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So then I had to drive all the way up to the fucking police station up by like Chapel Hills Mall.
Oh, and that like, one.
Yeah, I didn't have my phone or anything, so I had like no idea how to get there. I had to like stop into an IHOP and I asked these group of kids who were like waiting to be seated. I was like, do you know where the police station is? And the girl's like, yeah, you just go out here, you go left and then left again, which like her directions were really wrong. But the other girl, as I was leaving, she's like, it's by Dutch. And I was like, what? I like was like, what? She's like, it's by Dutch. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I just like looked for Dutch Brothers.
Yeah.
And like I found it.
Thank and then fucking God.
It was so weird because the chick's like, yeah, we have your purse here. I was like, they didn't take my purse. And then she's like, oh, she's like, well, all your stuff is inside this purse. And I was like, okay. So it was like this weird, like looked like a rich woman's purse or something, like black and pink. And it had like Apple Watch inside of it. Like, I'm not kidding, like 20 makeup palettes, just like tons of fucking shit in there.
Did you take all of it?
I kind of wanted to now that I think about it, because her wallet wasn't in it. And then I was like, oh, I should take this Apple Watch. And then, like, I don't know, like, the police officer's just standing right there in front of me as I go through it. And I'm like,
you couldn't break the law in front of a cop.
I was like, oh, as I'm taking back all my stolen shit, I'm going to steal someone else's shit. But
right. You could have happily walked out of there.
Yeah. Like, I should have just taken the whole purse. But I was like, oh, yeah, it's not my purse. And then I was like,
grabbed it and been like, fuck the police. And then walk out of there.
But yeah. And then, yeah, I should have. I don't know. It was like a nice Apple Watch, too. It was like the rose gold one. But yeah, I was like, whatever. Just find all my shit in it. They like poured out my whole wallet. Like, all my cards were just scattered throughout this, like, ginormous fucking purse. So I was, like, just going through
everything. Clearly, that's everything they've, like, heisted off of people. Holy shit.
So I guess some dude turned it into the police station because he found it kicked under his truck. Like, so, yeah, really strange. Huh. I don't know. And I don't know how it got that far up there. Like, they moved, like, really quickly because I feel like I didn't, like, stay at the park that long, and by the time I had already called, like, my bank card, they had already, like, tried to spend my money at Target.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they got up there that fast, but
$502.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were probably trying to get, like, a PS5.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They're like, we're gonna go buy a new TV, like, right? Who fucking knows? But yeah, so yep, got all my shit jacked.
So sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, and then when it happened, I used Dominic's phone and I called Garrett. I was like, please text John to text Heather that all my stuff got stolen so she doesn't think I'm dead. Thursday.
Okay. Yep. Because I was having a fucking meltdown that you were dead. So, like, first, okay, there were a lot of, like, thoughts that moved through, but when I finally landed on dead, it was like, she's fucking dead. So, like, I had texted you, when do you want to get together? Yeah. Like, I can't do it Sunday, it's Labor Day weekend, I'm having friends over, I have to smoke meat. Like, it wasn't going to be time, so it was like, do you want to do a day before? So then I think Friday happens, or like we go through Friday and then it's Saturday and I'm like, it's so unlike Laura. Yeah. So like, but you know, I also felt like, well, maybe it's like in a draft, you know, where you think you send it, you didn't send it, it's happened to all of us. So I texted you again. It was like, okay, hey man, like, so did you want to do today, you know, because like tomorrow doesn't work, how about Monday? And then like nothing. And then like Saturday night, because I had spent that whole day smoking weed, so by the time nighttime rolled around, I was paranoid because I thought maybe even during Saturday, it was like, maybe she's giving me a taste of my own medicine because I never respond to texts. Oh. She's like, fuck you, bitch. Like, I'm not going to respond. And then I don't remember. And then I was like, well, maybe it's stolen. But then it was like, but okay, maybe I should ask Garrett. And then I was like, what if Garrett murdered her? And then... It's like, no. Like, I'll have John text Garrett. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Like, because there are complications, right? And then I sent you a message on Instagram. And it was like, okay, well, maybe she's, like, at least got her sister's phone. Like, maybe she'll check her Instagram or something. And then, like, some hours went by where you didn't respond to Instagram. And then that's when I was like, she's fucking dead. She's dead. And then I started going on, like, Garrett's page, and I was like, well, I feel like he'd be really depressed if she was dead, and he doesn't seem depressed. And then that I went back to murder. I was like, because he murdered her. went fucking crazy.
It was a nightmare because without my phone, like, I try to get into my email. My email's like, please confirm the text message sent to your phone. And then I'm like, I don't have my phone. And then it's like, try your other email. So then I, like, send it to the other email. And then that other email's like, please confirm on your fucking phone. I was like, I don't have my phone. Like, and then, like, Instagram's like, please confirm on your phone. Snapchat's like, we need a code sent to your phone. And I'm like, I was like, I can't fucking get in. Like, so I literally couldn't, like, contact anyone. I was, like, freaking out. I had to, like, message, like, Snapchat, like, and, like, tell them, like, that my shit got stolen, that I can't verify my code, like, just to get in, to, like, message everyone, like, I'm yeah. not fucking dead. Like, it's so fucking annoying.
But. Yeah, well, because then I had, I messaged your sister on Instagram because I was looking. I was like, what's her sister's name? Or, like, who are people that would know
yeah.
Laura? Like, they would really, really know where she was. So then I messaged your sister, like, is Laura okay? I just need to know that she's alive. And, like, and then it took her a few hours. And then yeah. when she didn't, like, get back to me yeah. in 30 seconds, I was like, she's fucking dead. And then she finally got back to me. She was like, yes. Because when John messaged Garrett, like, still, like, hours went by. And yeah. I was like, because he fucking killed her. I just know. I don't know. Like I yeah. said, I really went down some wild yeah. paths. I feel like when you leave my brain unattended, it goes yeah. some really bizarre places.
I
yelled places.
At Garrett, too, because I think on, like, Sunday at work, I called him. I was like, did you message John and tell him like to message Heather or, like whatever yeah. and like Garrett's like, oh, like no, I didn't. And I was like, Garrett, I was like, I need you to do that. I was like, Heather and I were supposed to record. She probably thinks I'm dead. Like,
you were right. I yeah. did think you were dead.
Yeah, because I didn't have your number or any way to contact me. And then I thought about just yeah. like driving to your house, and I was like, what if she's not home? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I am always, what if she's not home? Give me a break. Yeah. So that was the weekend for sure.
Yeah.
Other than that, how was your Labor Day weekend?
It was good. I live like so close to Memorial Park. I can literally walk there. So yay. Zai and I walked there together. We set up like a hammock, my hammock. And yeah, we just sat there. This lady, like, I think was really annoyed that we set up in the trees. Like, she like came up to us. She was like, girls, just so you know, this is my chair. And I was like, okay. Like, I think she was like really annoyed. Then she like moved her chair like all the way to like the side. Oh my
God.
And then like I kept seeing people walk around with these like plates of these like huge like fries that looked like just like one ginormous like curly fry.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I need some of those. And I kept asking everyone, and everyone I'd ask, like, they're like, it's not worth it. Like, if you like grease, go ahead and get them.
You're like,
and
I was, yeah, like, I do yeah. like grease. Like,
I'm still getting them. I don't care. And like, so like as I'm like walking, trying to find the truck, I find these people, and I was like, where did you get those? They're like, it's right down there. She's like, girl. She's like, we waited in three different lines over an hour. She's like, just go to the side. They don't even know what they're doing. Just tell them you had a curly fry. She's like, they'll give it to you. So literally, I just walked to the side of the truck, and I'm like standing there, and the guy would be like, curly fry. And then like five people raise their hands, and then he just like hands a plate to one of them.
Oh my
so
gosh.
So as he's doing this, I just start like raising my hands. And I like make it to the front, and I'm like finally like in the front of like the like pack, and he's like, curly fry. And I like raise my hand, and he's like, what did you have? I was like,
curly fry.
And he's like, okay. And then he like just like runs away. And then these dudes are standing there. He's like, man, they're just handing them out to anyone. I was like, yeah, you don't even have to pay. And they're like, yeah, like for real. And I was
oh
like,
my God.
And then like, yeah, I got holy a fucking shit. Curly fry. It literally took me probably like 10 minutes.
Whoa.
And then I walked back. Zai and I fucking scarfed them down. There was literally, I'm not kidding you, like I could pour the oil off of my plate. That's how much.
Oh my
yeah, God. Like it felt like I had like lotion on. Ooh. It was like all over me, all the oil. But I thought they were pretty fucking good, like for yeah. free. But they were oh. free, and I didn't have to wait like an hour and a half for them. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. Oh, I had Thief. Also just like a random thing that happened to me, just because like I don't know, I just thought it was funny. Like I had my hair in like pigtails, mm-hmm. and I drove to my sister's house, and it was like right there, like when you turn onto like Cimarron to like get to Manitou and all of that, like right mm-hmm. there under the bridge, there's like always all those like hobos and
yeah
there's this fucking guy like just like walking. He walked up to my car. He's like, Abby.
What the fuck?
And I was like,
no.
No. He's like, get it? NCIS? And I was like, oh.
You and then he's know. Like, my then he dad watches NCIS. Why would you, a 25-year-old yeah. woman, watch NCIS?
And then he was like, have a great day. And I was like, okay. And I just like drove off or whatever. Because like I always like just try to avoid eye contact with them. Like I'm just like, don't look at them. Like they're going to like, I don't know. I just like feel pressured to yeah. give them money or like I don't know. And then
he thought he was gonna do a comedy bit with you and get a tip.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay. And then but I just thought it was like really funny and fucking sorry. But and I went thrift shopping and I found, did I talk about this last time? I don't know. I found an Apple sweatshirt and it still had the tags on it. Did I tell you this?
What's an Apple sweatshirt? What do you mean?
Like a sweatshirt and it has like the Apple logo on
it. Oh, okay.
And I looked it up online. They're literally online for like $300.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why? Because it has an Apple in it?
Because it's like vintage. It's like from...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long ago. And it still had the tags on it. Like literally never worn. I thought it was so cool. And I found this bag. I have to show you. It's from 1994.
Oh my God. Yes, it is. Oh my God. Is that for like your beer too?
I think so. And your cigarettes.
Oh my God.
And
That's so. Like a fucking Mega Man's like Crocodile Dundee's fanny pack for cigarettes and his knife. Oh my God.
I thought it was like super awesome though. I was like, I'm fucking getting this. So yeah, I got that Apple sweatshirt and this fucking Marlboro. I don't know how the fuck.
Marlboro.
Someone made fun of the way I said it. Now I'm just like, how do I say it? But yeah, so.
Marley Bear.
Marlboro. Fanny pack.
That's right. The cigarette bag.
Yes. Yep. And I thought it was super cool, so got it. It's from 1994, so.
It's really, you could put a lot of shit in there.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
It almost is as big as, like, it reminds me of, like, a first aid kit.
Literally.
A little bit, dude. Like, it looks like you could put
bandages. Like a lifeguard fucking, like.
It kind of does. Literally. Yeah, like, there's probably a defibrillator you could fit in there. Mine was, I don't know, I don't think it was that exciting. As you know, I smoked a ton of meat for more because I can't stop. I smoked more meat on Sunday for some friends. Mm. So originally, last, I don't know, maybe like Tuesday, I'd messaged my friend and I was like, hey, do you want to come over next Sunday? So we can smoke some meat, because I knew I was smoking meat for when Bill and Lori came over on Friday. And she was like, yeah, Nick's got this whole weekend off. That sounds great. And I was like, ah, fuck. She thought I meant this Sunday. So then I was like, well, all right, fuck it. I can do it. I know I can do it. So we spent, I don't want to talk about how much money we spent on meat. And we smoked enough meat to make me concerned about my carbon footprint that I was leaving on this earth. More pork. Dude, I don't know what the pork belly. I'm serious. Like last episode, I know I talked about like, boy, we sure are buying a lot of pork belly. Guess what? We bought more pork belly since then. So it was like pork belly. I did jalapeno poppers. Ooh. Holy shit. That was so good. And then I did deviled eggs too. So you like hard boil the eggs and then you put them in the smoker for like 30 minutes and then you make deviled eggs out of that. It amazing. What else? A whole chicken. We spatchocked the chicken, which is basically you cut the spine out of the chicken.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I took a picture because I had to, like, I don't know. I felt very, I felt victorious holding this spine up.
Oh my God. My God.
I felt very all powerful. Like,
it's like the picture of like the guy's holding the fish, but you're just like holding the spine.
Kind of
chicken.
Yeah, or like the guy holding a heart in Indiana Jones, but that was me with a spine. Like, all chickens will fear me. And so it was that. I don't remember what else. More brats, just a lot of stuff. So we smoked a lot.
Mm.
Fucking a lot of food over the weekend.
Sounds fun.
It sure was. But yeah, their kids came over. Their kids are so young. So, well, they're like 8 and 4, I think. So, man, she talks about childcare costs. Holy shit.
Yikes.
Yeah, like for 4 days a week, I don't remember what she said it cost. I think it's like hundreds of dollars
oh my gosh.
A week. It It's insane.
That reminds me of when, like, I had posted on, like, Facebook Marketplace literally, like, years ago when I was, like, 15 or 16 mm-hmm. looking for a job. And I put something like $9 an hour.
Yeah.
And I literally got fucking, like, torn into. Like, oh, so many people were, like, just, like, yelling at me. Like, how the fuck, like, are we supposed to afford this? Like, what do you holy think this shit. Is? Like, just, like, literally, like, tons of moms, like, attacking me for asking holy for shit. That. Like, I'm like, dude, literally, it's, like, cheaper than...
minimum
daycare.
Yeah,
like, yeah, and like, yeah, but yeah, but
well, fuck you.
Yeah.
I remember there was this one hilarious, it was like this long like exchange of text messages or something like that, or comments in a thread, but this person complaining that like some individual, like, so-and-so is ditching me from daycare. Like, they're totally fucking me over. Like, I can't believe this. And the person responds back with, like, well, yeah, I can literally make more money working minimum wage at Walmart for half the time. Like, yeah. that you pay me. They were like, you're a fucking cheap piece of shit. You're doing this for the money? And they're like, yeah, I'm doing this for the money. Like, I have to eat and pay my bill. Yeah. like, this person. Yeah. yeah. There are fucking people out there yeah. that are shocked that you have to feed your own family. Yeah, they like, cannot believe. Yeah. Oh, fuck. And then, I don't know. I guess that was really kind of my weekend, was just, like, cleaning and oh, my God. So, okay. My child had... she's got a new friend that she's like getting really close with,
yeah.
and I hate this fucking kid. They are so fucking annoying. And well, like, this kid, she's kind of like a little bit rude.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then like just a little, God willing, this like never, this child never hears, and I'll never say their name, but like just so like belchy, like not okay, like they were in my room and she just kept burping and I was like disgusted. I was like, she is filling my room up with her burps. Ew. And like it was just like bleh, bleh, bleh. Like every 5 minutes, like this huge belches would come out of this person. It's like, what the fuck, like no decency to try to like contain it yeah. a little. And then her and this, you know, Mary and this kid like killed off this like liter of soda. I just bought it so they could have some yeah. and then they like drained it. Yeah. I took a glass and in the morning I went and I just found it gutted somewhere in the house. I was like, holy shit.
No wonder she was burping so much.
No kidding, because they were probably fucking shotgunned that goddamn liter of soda. So yeah, we're already talking about like limiting oh, how yeah. often we it's see like, this kid. Like, oh no, they can't this weekend. They're I'm not in the mood. So, and then I cleaned her room yesterday too. I didn't mean to. So we're trying to repaint her room because like she's a tween and she doesn't yeah. want some of the old decorations. Totally get it. So we're trying to paint it, but mm-hmm. she has so much shit everywhere. So like I went to just go paint while she was at school a little bit. And then it was like, I can't do shit in here. So I just started cleaning and then one thing led to another and I cleaned that fucking room. And just, you know, 12-year-olds are fucking disgusting. And I remember being gross at 12 and she's about as gross as I was at 12. Yeah. So it's like I'm finding mummified banana peels and just pieces of apple. I'm like, why are there just pieces of apple in your room? Fucking LaCroix cans everywhere. It was like, fuck. And like, we have her clean her room a couple times a week and we're always like, don't just shove shit into like, corner. Oh. And sure enough, like, she found all these little hidey holes to put shit. It's like, fucking shit.
That's how my sister and I would clean. I yep. remember my mom would be like, your room better be clean. And we just, like, open the closet. Like, we're, like, throwing stuff, like, under the bed in the closet. Yeah. Just, like, anywhere it can go. So
we were the exact same. I was one of the grossest kids I knew. Like, to this day, I'm like, I don't know that I knew any other kids that were as gross as I was in school. I'd always have, like, dead sandwiches at the bottom of my backpack and stuff. So. Yep.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Great times. I do not miss being a teenager. They're gross and annoying.
Yeah.
Anytime I see a group of teenagers, I'm always like, oh, fucking
yeah. Youths. I was actually thinking about that last night, just like how cringy I was, and just like all the people who probably like think about me and like how fucking annoying I was and how much they hate me. Like, oh, fuck that.
I pray to God that people do not remember who I was in high school. Like, I hope the people I still have maintained friendships with are the only people that will ever remember me. And God bless them for hanging on this long, still being my friend. So, youthfulness.
Yeah.
I miss it and I don't miss it. Like, I wish I could go back to 25 and start there.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck 15.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. We've taken our guacamole break. And, it was old guacamole. I had to scrape off the oxidized guacamole. It looked black. It sort of looked like a asphalt that we had scooped up and put in a bowl. But it was vibrant and green underneath.
Yes, so. And still delicious. So.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think you were going to do the honors this week of going first. Oops.
Okay. So, yeah. So the story I'm going to be doing is about Jake Bird. And online I saw this like reference kind of as like the first black American serial killer or some crap like that. But I don't really know if that's accurate. It's probably not. But
We'll run with it.
Yeah. So this is also referred to as the Jake Bird Hex. Ooh. Don't want to get too much into that. But that's why I picked it. So I thought it was kind of like weird. But yeah. So... October 30th, 1947, 45-year-old Jake Bird decides to break into a home located on South 21st Street in Washington somewhere. I forgot where. I'm sure I'll mention it. Tacoma?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. The home belonged to 52-year-old widow Bertha Klutt and her daughter Beverly, who was just 17 at the time. Bird went in through the back door and into Klutt's bedroom to steal $1.50 from her purse, and while attempting to leave, he claims that he found Bertha standing behind him in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So he was armed with an axe. Klutt and Bird engaged in a physical altercation, which ended in Bird killing Klutt with the axe. And then apparently during all of this commotion, Bertha's daughter, Beverly, went to investigate, where she, too, was murdered with the axe. So, after murdering both of the women, I guess bystanders who had heard, like, screams coming from the house called the police. And when the cops arrived, they found Bird running from the house. They ran after him as he jumped fences and ran through people's yards. Apparently, like, ran through a picket fence. I don't know. I was confused.
Like, he Kool-Aid manned through the picket fence?
That's what it sounded like when I was reading. I was like, okay. So when they finally quartered him, he tried to stab both of the officers. He managed to stab one of them in the shoulder, and then he cut one of the other's hands before being punched in the face, kicked in the groin, and arrested.
Whoa.
Yeah. So on October 31st, he was charged with first-degree murder in Tacoma. And I guess, after the officers arrested Bird, they went into the house to check on the residence, where they found both of the women dead, apparently murdered with an axe, obviously. They found Bertha dead in her bedroom and Beverly on the kitchen floor, which I don't know if it's accurate because I don't know. Because I thought that she had, like, confronted him and then the daughter confronted him together. I don't know, there was like a couple of different things I read, but either way they found them both dead, axed to death. And the axe was left actually at the scene of the crime, and apparently there was an attempt of sexual assault made on Bertha. So so the officers were like horrified by what they saw, and in addition to this they were also like a little prejudiced or racist.
Yeah.
So it's like the fucking 40s, so
yeah.
And so then they proceeded to illegally and viciously beat Bird until he was begging for his life.
Whoa.
which I had this about this little passage or whatever, where so this statement was actually made like during court, like while like during a testimony or whatever, but the officer John Hickey said, "I regret to say that I lost my temper after returning from the Klut home and viewing the terribly hacked bodies of the two women. I had asked Bird as we sat in the patrol wagon why he murdered the two women. He said he didn't do it. I asked him who did it then, and he said it was Leroy. Who's Leroy? I asked him. He said, oh, another Negro around town. Bird replied, you're lying. I replied. And he looked at me with, or... You're lying, I replied, and he looked at me with a smug and insolent look. I know I shouldn't have done it, but I hit him in the jaw with my fist, knocking him to the front of the patrol wagon. Then I struck him a number of times with my nightstick until he said, don't kill me. That brought me to my senses, and we took him to the hospital where a nurse said he wasn't badly hurt."
Whoa.
Yeah. So, I guess when investigators asked Bird why he was trying to steal money, he said he was... or he needed to buy shoes. He claimed Bertha woke up and grabbed him, and that the murders were done out of shock and not premeditation.
He was shocked that someone was upset that he was in their home and robbing them.
In the middle of the night.
He was like, whoa, hey, this is a bit excessive. I'm just in your home without you knowing at night while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
Yeah, so... upon further questioning, they found out that Bird had a habit of killing. So, killing. It's like that guy on
I kill you.
The blade killer. Whatever. Okay. Anyways. So, before being taken to jail, they took him to the hospital for his injuries sustained during the beating he endured after his arrest. And at the hospital, they had questioned him about the murders where he denied any involvement. I guess the police officer said he seemed, like, really convincing. Like, oh, like, he seems kind of like he could be telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Minus the fact that he had, like, blood and brain matter on his shirt, so...
If it wasn't for that pesky little detail, yeah. He totally would have gotten away with it.
Yeah, so, they went to the house. They were, like, gathering evidence at the crime scene. They found his shoes, and his fingerprints were on the handle of the axe used to murder Beverly and Bertha. And then, obviously, like, the brain matter and blood on his shirt. So, he apparently had a lengthy criminal record, including burglaries, assaults, and attempted murder and murder. Bird estimated that he had served 15 years in various prisons for his crimes. He was born in Louisiana, and he left home when he was 19 years old. Over the next few years, he had never stayed in one place for long, and he worked at, like, railroads as a section gang labor. I don't know what that means, but
yeah,
it just like basically allowed him to live his like nomadic lifestyle. Yeah. Earning money and also doing what he loved, killing people.
Oh.
So he would just like kill like women in various towns he visited. And apparently he confessed to his involvement of over a dozen murders, I guess, that they like confirmed, but he had confessed to, like, 44 or something like that, almost.
Whoa.
So, over the course of, like, 20 years, so. Yeah,
Do what you love.
Yeah, so after the hospital, he was taken back to the Tacoma City Jail, and they, questioned him where he dictated and signed a confession in the presence of four police officers. His confession stated that he entered the Klutz residence through an unlocked back door to commit an easy burglary, end quote. He had grabbed the axe from a nearby shed to bluff off anyone who tried to bother me, as he said. Yeah. He took his shoes off when he went into the house, and they snuck into Bertha's room where he stole the money from the purse. Apparently, Bertha confronted him in the kitchen where Beverly found him and tried to attack him. Ends up both of them being murdered, so
yeah.
On Friday, October 31st, literally the day after, Deputy Prosecutor Earl D. Mann charged Jake Bird with first-degree murder for the death of Bertha Klutz, just in case there was failure to obtain a conviction on that like offense or whatever. So if he was found like not guilty, they would charge him for the other murder. But Yeah, so at his arraignment, he pled not guilty, and the trial was set for November 24th, 1947. So apparently Byrd wanted to represent himself, but his request was denied by the judge. And then I guess the trial moved at a rapid pace and was concluded in just 1.5 days of testimony. Yeah. And the prosecution aimed to prove Bertha's murder was premeditated in order to seek the death penalty. Yeah, it's just like I had said. That excerpt I read earlier was like in the testimony of one of the officers during the trial. And I guess because of the beating, the defense tried to say the confession was given under duress, but the judge disagreed and said there was no relationship between him being beat and the confession. So
yeah, I mean, he did come out of that house covered in blood and brain matter. Yeah, it's so like, it's like, you're probably not innocent.
Yeah.
You know, probably freaked the fuck out. Yeah.
So closing arguments began Wednesday morning, November 26, 1947, and the case went to jury at noon. After deliberating for only 35 minutes, the jury returned with its verdict. Yeah.
This was the express lane.
Yeah.
Fucking killing.
Byrd was found guilty of first-degree murder, and the jury voted to impose the death penalty. Apparently, during all of this, he just sat there, just, like, unmoved, like, unfazed, like, didn't even care. And then on his way back to Pierce County Jail, apparently he asked the officers, what's all the excitement about? Yeah. So on December 6, 1947, Judge Hodge sentenced Byrd to hang on the gallows at Washington State Pen on January 16th, 1948. A motion for a new trial was denied by the judge. And when Judge Hodge asked Byrd to comment after a 20-minute impassioned speech, Byrd declared, and I read a few different things, but he basically said something, and this is why it's called the Jake Byrd Hex,
yeah,
along the lines of, I'm putting the Jake Byrd Hex on all of you who had anything to do with my being punished. Mark my words, you will die before I do.
Whoa.
Yeah, so this is like what kind of made the case so, like, popular, I guess, or, like, one of, like, the weird ones, because
he just cursed everybody.
Yeah, and so after he cursed everyone, a little bit after the conviction, Judge Hodge died of a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The next to die was Byrd's defense lawyer. He also died of a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
After this, the police officer who recorded Byrd's confession also died of a heart attack. Then another police officer who wrote the official report on Byrd died, guess how, a heart attack.
Oh my God.
And then Byrd's prison guard also died of a fucking heart attack. And then finally, the court's clerk died of pneumonia. So, yeah, like five people after he like was like, I curse you all, died, like involved in his...
I mean, he's either in cahoots with the Dark Lord, or he got very, very lucky.
I know, right?
And he just, maybe they were all really overweight. He's like, they're all gonna die of a heart attack real soon.
That's what I was wondering. When I told someone else this, they're like, yeah, but like, how old were they? And like, I was like, okay, just say it was a hex, okay?
Like, were they all eating corn dogs at the court? Just packing those arteries full of grease, like they were drinking the grease out of that, like, what was that potato thing you had earlier?
Oh yeah.
Like they would drink that grease right out of the carton,
literally. Yep. So while he was still alive on Walla Walla's death road, Byrd confessed to the 44 murders, 11 which were proven. His first kills were apparently two women in Illinois in 1942. There's others confirmed in Louisville, Omaha, Kansas City, Sioux Falls, or
Sioux Falls,
Cleveland, Orlando, and Portage. So, Byrd's story would end July 15th, 1949, 2 years after his last crime, where he was hung on the gallows. He's buried at the prison cemetery, and his grave is marked number 21520. And then I got my information from South southsoundtalk.com, True Crime Library, Murderpedia, and Ranker.
Right.
Yeah, on. That's the Jake Bird hex.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of people, 44. Yeah. And then to be like, what's the big deal? Like, he sounds like fucking Jerry Seinfeld. What's the big deal about killing women?
Literally.
But yeah. That's so funny. Fuck. Oh, well, it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's tragic. I need to stop saying that after, like, we talk about murder. Right. I'm like, hilarious.
That's so funny. But yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. So
I know that was the hex, man. I know. I didn't know about that guy. What a powerful person. I'm surprised they even hung him. I bet you they were like, you hang him. No, you fucking hang him. I'm not hanging that motherfucker.
Hangs him, just drops dead of a heart attack right there.
Yeah, probably. Oh, that would be the worst. Well, with the rate of how fast everything went, the trial was a day and a half. Yeah. And then they deliberated for 30 minutes. I literally thought they were just going to, like, shoot him in the courtroom.
I know,
like,
right?
And you're dead. Boom.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty crazy how fast it went.
Yeah. There's no time to waste. We have to kill this man. I don't blame him, man. He's scary. Yeah. He just hatchet, you know. To kill, like, okay, a knife must be scary and, like, really gross. Like, you're opening skin, blood's coming out. An axe? You're, like, chunks of body parts are probably flying off.
Really? No. Brutal.
Yeah, there's, like, you know, I love my Game of Thrones, and I'm like halfway through that second book, by the way. It's so good. So but, like, watching it, some of the more brutal deaths are when they use axes, because there's, like, just bits flying off, and it's really horrific.
Ugh.
There's one thing I've learned from movies, it's that it's just like real life. So okay. So I'm gonna do mine. I did the Wellington Avalanche. Okay, so there was once upon a time, there was a town called Wellington, and it is home to the deadliest avalanche in American history. So what started out as a routine trip from Spokane to Seattle would end up costing 96 people their lives.
Uh-oh.
I know. So on February 22nd, 1910, timing is a little fuzzy. It was a little tough to get dates again. So there were two great northern railway trains, the Spokane Express local passenger train number 25 and the fast mail train number 27 that left Spokane to Seattle. But even before departure, the railway had been given a forecast of a deadly blizzard right in their path. And thanks to James H. O'Neill, that fucking dick, who was superintendent of the mountain region, he decided that he knew better about the weather than the weather people did. So he gave zero fucks about that blizzard, and he felt that the weather wasn't going to be that bad, despite not being a meteorologist. And he, and, like, it's also, it was also kind of known, like, the Cascade Mountains were kind of having, like, which where they were going to have to travel through to go from Spokane to Seattle, they'd already had some avalanches there. So, like, it's already a problem, but they're like, no, it's fine. So, yeah, even before the trains left that day, they had snow blocking their path, so they had to be cleared up by plow. And this got them started on their journey about 36 hours later than anticipated. So they're already, like, cranky. Like, we've all sat in the airport for an extra hour, and you see people have complete fucking meltdowns. Yeah. Can you imagine 36 hours in a train station?
Oh, my God.
So... it was slow in progress. They were able to make steady progress all the way through the Stevens Pass. I don't know how far that is, but I'm sure it was far. but there were times where the crews had to get out and shovel that shit by snow.
Oh my God.
Which sounds like a thankless fucking task. Yeah. Like, you know, labor jobs in 1910 were probably not great. So,
like, they literally, like, stopped the train or what?
They would have to, because they're, like, they couldn't
shovel
that fucking snow, you know?
Sounds horrible.
That's right. And I'm sure being screamed at all the while, like, people would kill to have your fucking job. You better be grateful. Yeah, so the train did officially get stuck outside of the Cascade Tunnel. So they got through this tunnel, and then they get stuck. So the first day... And this is what I think. Again, timing a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
But the first day that they were stuck, it snowed 13 feet. followed by 3 feet, 3 feet more every day for 5 days. And I put, if my calculations are correct, that's a lot of stuff. So like, I cannot be bothered to add that up. I'm sure it's a lot. So they did consider themselves trapped in Wellington, even though they were about a half mile above Wellington, like in the mountains. So, but they're like above it. So the people on the train, from the sound of it, were super pissed off because they're like, this is too fucking much. So not only were they upset about being caught in like the train, but they're staring. They're like shitting themselves watching this big ass wall of snow outside, like on the mountain. It's like getting bigger and bigger. They're like, fuck, you know, so they're freaking out because they're about to be crushed like bugs. So the crew put their best game faces on and they tried to convince the passengers that they were in the safest place they could be. And passengers were like, well, let's move the train back into the tunnel because the snow is going to fucking kill us. Yeah. And they're like, that could be a really great idea, except like to keep you guys warm, we're going to have to burn coal and then we'll all die from noxious fumes. So we can't do that unless you guys want to be cold. And everyone's like, we'll freeze to death. So they kind of had to like make a really tough decision. So, yeah, let's see. Oh. So during the time the train is stuck, crews are still trying to shovel it free. The crews were working round the clock. So, like, it just sounds like they never stopped shoveling. Yeah. And they could not keep up with the falling snow. And then the situation was more complicated than it needed to be. Because even though they did have snow plows, they couldn't run it because then they were running out of coal for the passengers to stay warm. Because they didn't know how long they were going to be stuck there for. So that means that the poor son of a bitches shoveling out in the cold were probably 10 times more pissed knowing that there were snow plows, but somebody probably didn't order more coal or should have ordered more coal. So, you know, they're probably just like being fueled by their rage outside in the snow, like, like, you know, angry shoveling. Yeah. Like, better fucking just fucking. So every time they'd clear a section though, like more snow would slide down. It was like just it never ended. They
feel like this is pointless.
People literally just like threw their shovels down. They were like, fuck this. Because this is okay. So they were only getting paid at the time. I don't know what this how much this translates to. But 15 cents an hour.
Oh my god.
For doing that. Yikes. Which means I would have walked off that job after the first shovel. I'd been like, no.
Same. I wouldn't have even done it. I would have looked outside and been like,
You can fucking suck my dick. Yeah. I am not doing that. So some people out of desperation abandoned the train despite protests from the crew. And if you're also wondering why Wellington wasn't able to offer any assistance, it's because they couldn't fucking get up there, you know? And the town demographics were pretty bleak. The largest structure of the town was a Baylett's Hotel. There, or what was called the Baylett's Hotel, which also served as the town's general store and post office.
Oh.
So that's it. That's what there is to do. That's what there is to do in Wellington is go to that fucking place. Yeah. And that's it.
Sounds like Cripple Creek.
You know, I've never been there. Is that pretty much how it is? Yeah. There's like one thing to do.
Literally.
So there, and there was the town was literally only made up pretty much of like railway workers. It was like a railway town, so like some people lived there that worked for the railway and that was it. Let's see. Oh, and they were also unable to call in for reinforcements because the blizzard had knocked their lines down, so there's no really good way to communicate with anybody. So
everything that could go wrong.
Yep. So the two trains had been trapped there for about 4 days in Wellington. Supplies were running out, so their food is running out. Their coal is dying down. And during this time, it's still pounding down snow. So the day before the avalanche, it starts to warm up, and that sounds good, but it's really terrible. Because that means that the temperature is causing the snow to melt, which is making it heavier.
Oh, yeah.
So now they're... And that night, it starts to rain. So now it's like more weight on top of this fucking snow. And it's not just raining. It's an electrical storm. So there's fucking lightning everywhere. So at 4 a.m., Thor struck his hammer down directly on top of that mountain. And he was like, fuck these people. And then an avalanche came like roaring down towards them. So they think the avalanche was about a half mile wide. And I put, it had all kinds of fun surprises tucked inside of it, like trees and boulders, probably maybe some animals. Yeah. I don't know. So all of that is coming down towards them, and then it takes them into the canyon below. So it doesn't take the whole, it sounded like it didn't take the whole train, mm-hmm. but it took most of it. Mm-hmm. Well, both of the trains. So those who were lucky enough to not be swept away tried to get to the wreckage as fast as they could, but they were like, these people were, you know, the train was hundreds of feet below them in amongst debris and buried snow. And okay. And then there was a quote from Charles Andrew, who was a railway worker. Okay. And this is his quote. White death moved down the mountainside above the trains. Relentlessly it advanced, exploding, roaring, rumbling, grinding, and snapping. The Spokane Express and a mail train were both thrown from the tracks down a nearby gorge 150 feet deep. The Wellington station was wiped away, though the town's hotel and store were untouched. So it sounds like it took, like it literally took, even though it was a tiny town, the town of Wellington was, mm-hmm. like, gone. Because it said it took their water tower, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, they were fucked. So that night, they were able to pull 23 people out of the wreckage alive. Hmm. And after finding so many bodies under so much carnage, people believed that everyone else just must have been dead.
Yeah.
But then they, like, heard some small noises. So the last passenger to be pulled out alive, and this is the saddest fucking story you'll ever hear in your life. Like, nothing worse could happen to a woman than what is about to happen to this woman, well, over 100 years ago. So, she was pulled from the wreckage alive, but she was traveling with all three of her children on board. Aww. So, after the train tumbled down the canyon, Starrett awoke with a heavy weight on her back, keeping her pinned down. This is so fucked. She was very aware that her infant son, Francis, was underneath her and that she could feel him breathing and then knew the exact moment when he stopped breathing. Fuck.
That's horrible.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Fuck. So once she's pulled from the wreckage, she learned that her 9-year-old daughter had also died. But then there was a moment of relief when she discovered that her 7-year-old son, Raymond, was still alive. Mm-hmm. Even though he had a 30-inch long splinter in his fucking forehead.
What? So
luckily, the boy had no permanent damage other than a scar. So she was able to, she had one kid left, but out of three, that's not great. So the scene of the disaster, of course, left many wondering, you know, how to further avoid tragedies in the future. And a big factor, too, that they hadn't considered was the fact that they had cleared so much of the mountain full of wood. So, like, there were no trees to help hold the snow weight down. So, because they had, like, stripped everything. And then, let's see. And then it also sparked more conversation about corporate responsibility. So, them saying, like, you're supposed to, like, we shouldn't have to go, oh, there's a 50-50 chance I'll die riding your fucking railway. Like, you have a responsibility to make sure that we're getting safe travel because you want repeat customers, right? Yeah. So, and then it did cause, or it, yeah, it got the railway to build more snow sheds. So just along the paths to help make sure that there's blockers and everything. And especially that Cascade Crossing. Like I said, because there were, like, so many issues with it already. So the train had started with around 125 people on it, and at least 96 died. 61 were train workers, and 35 of them were passengers. And then of the people that walked down the mountain before the avalanche, none of them died, even though, like, it sounds like some of them really came close. Like, some of them were sinking into snow up to their chest.
Oh,
like,
God.
They were like, we almost fucking froze to death.
Yeah.
And then where the train landed, it was covered by 40 or 70 feet of snow. And it wasn't until the next day that outside help was able to, like, try to make it up and recover all the bodies and stuff. And then they had to be moved down via toboggan. So to other railways to, like, get them to their destination. Mm-hmm. And then the town has since been renamed to Tye. That's T-Y-E. And there's new rails that are further down the mountain. And then the old rails have been converted to biking and hiking trails, which actually sounds kind of like fucking cool. And yeah. I guess there are places where you can go down and you can find old wreckage, like bits of scrap metal.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, fuck yeah. So that was the Wellington Avalanche. Hmm. And I thought that was pretty fascinating, you know? All these, I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Especially that Ida start.
Oh my gosh.
To fucking lay on your baby.
Yeah. It's like, horrible and not be able to.
Yeah. Do. Yeah. That's why I was like, this is the worst fucking thing. I feel like
it's one of those things too. Like, and you live. You just have to always think about that. Like,
Yeah. Sorry, just taking my thing. So. Whew.
Wow.
What an adventure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you got any plans for this week?
Just work. Work my life away, get my soul sucked out of my body.
To make rent.
Yep.
Yep.
And, yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
I just remembered, it was my coworker's birthday on the 7th, so I painted him, like, a starry night, and I wanted to I wanted to do, like, Godzilla, like, blowing down fire onto, like, the little city.
Yeah.
And then I got this idea, like, what if I, like, got, like, actual, like, printed out a photo of Godzilla, like the original one.
Yes.
And then like pasted it on.
Yeah.
And then got like little like fake flames and like helicopters. So I literally did all of this. I thought it looked so awesome, dude. I wish I took a photo of it.
You didn't take a photo?
No.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask him for one, but
please do.
It was so hilarious. And then like when he opened it, I was like kind of nervous. I was like, God, like hopefully he doesn't like
he's like, what
I don't
the
know,
fuck?
Like yeah. He literally just like was hysterically laughing. And then like everyone who came into work, he's like, look what Laura made me.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool though. So.
Well, okay, get your Etsy account started so that you can start selling those. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, kind of. Because I was like, I don't know, because like I kept explaining to like my sister and like Dom, I was like, I have this idea, like. They're like, I don't really get it.
What? Like, what is there not to get?
I was like, it's like funny, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It's funny though. Like,
yeah.
But like, yeah. So. I love it because like, there's people are weird. They'll go to thrift stores,
yeah,
and then put like little millennial falcons. Like, yeah, you know, like they do all kinds of weird shit.
That's what I was like picturing, like some kind of like weird, but yeah. So,
a different take.
Yeah.
On Van Gogh. I love it. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm like expecting one now. Like I would like to commission you for one of these paintings.
Yes, I will.
Please do. And like, what does the fire look like? Is that
I literally printed out like I typed in like flame and like got like the cheesiest like looking flames I could. And then I just like put them like all like throughout it kind of.
I'm gonna request you to put yarn. Like to do like little yarn like swirly yarn.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Idea. I say that's cool. That would be another. Okay, sorry. Now I'm getting fucking crazy. Because I was like, what if you did that? Because have you ever seen those people? They like curl pieces of paper to make like these really intricate like floral images.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of yarn. What if you got like different strands of yarn and like did like Godzilla?
That would be cool.
In like the stringy kind of Van Gogh style. All right, we have work to do. It sounds like. Actually, no, that's your gig. I'll do something different that doesn't just, like, feed off of your ideas.
Paintings on the side of our podcast. Like, I'm just, like, all our random ideas.
Yeah, the feel sorry for us and buy our artwork. Because we're tired of working for a living. It's not true. Artists work for a living. I follow so many artists online. I was thinking too, like if it would be cool for us to maybe like once a week we choose an artist to like just put on the Facebook page that we love, because I have so many that I follow.
Too.
Yeah, a lot of jealousy when I see some of these works and like sculptors and welder and like there's so much cool shit out there that like I wish I had some.
Mm-hmm. I wish I was half as creative.
Oh, right? Where you see some of that shit and you're like, who? How did you come up with
that? That's what I think. Yeah. I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
But yes.
Where it's like, you've got a gifted brain. Like, I think I'm being creative. You know, like people think they're being creative when they put like dry spaghetti through a hot dog and they're like, yeah, I gave my hot dogs noodle arms. I'm like, amazing. Yeah. I don't know why that came to me. That's not the same as painting or artwork.
I mean,
I just compared like artists to a person that shoves dry noodles through a tube of meat and then they boil it. It's the same thing.
Could be art.
Maybe they take it and they let it dry and then they glue it. Do you remember that Banksy thing where there was a painting at auction? It was like a Banksy photo. I think it was the girl with the heart with the balloon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then like the gavel went down, the painting was sold, and he had built in a shredder and it shredded. Amazing. God bless him. God, I love him so much. I love his work. I really want one of his tattoos. Like, that's I want one of his images tattooed on my body. There's like a it's like a rioter throwing a bouquet of flowers, and that's the one I really want.
Aww.
Yeah. And then your tattoo's getting closer and closer. Oh, and did I tell you, you had sent me a link to that guy's work.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You looked at him?
I looked at it. I was like, this guy's great. I'm excited. I cannot wait to see that tattoo.
I keep thinking about it. I was like thinking about it last night. I was like, oh gosh, like I'm just like excited because he's going to like draw it on me like, and then like we obviously go through like, but like I'm just like nervous. I'm like, oh god.
Are you gonna divide it up into a couple days, or is he gonna try to get it done in one go?
He said it's gonna be five to six hours. It should be done in one go. I don't know why.
I mean, it depends. He knows his work. You know, he knows how long his stuff takes. So,
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I don't know.
Worst comes to worst, he goes, we gotta reschedule.
Yeah. So
like my big ass forearm one. You know, luckily he knew. He was like, no, just schedule in 2 days.
Yeah. I keep worrying about, like, the pain. Like, is it going to be painful? But then I'm like, if Heather did it.
Yeah. And plus, you got your foot done and you said it didn't hurt. And I got my foot done. Yeah. And because he worked on yours. How long did he work on yours?
I think it was like 2.5, 3 hours.
Yeah. See, for me, it was 3 hours and I was ready to tap out. Yeah. And you said you were like, I was just like on my phone and didn't really notice it. So like, yeah. I think you probably just have a better pain tolerance than I do.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm a baby. Well, like when I was getting the tattoo done and I was like, oh, it just hurts so bad. And he's like, yeah, this is one of the most painful places, you know, your forearm. I was like, really? And he's like, not even close. I was like, oh, shit. So it makes me scared because, you know, I want a lot done and I'm really scared for like the sensitive parts. Like part of me is like, maybe I'll never get my ribs done because I'm poking my ribs right now. And it's like, it already hurts.
My ribs are really sensitive. I feel like it would be painful.
But... You think you would get your ribs done?
I don't know. I used to want to get that tattoo like down like my side. I don't know. I'm already planning like, I'm just going to get a sleeve. Like, fuck it. Like,
dude.
I really want one. And I'm just like.
Everybody's doing it. the unfortunate thing is tattoos are so beautiful and they're so expensive. Yeah. Well, not everybody's expensive, but you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Because, like, I told, like someone, like, they asked me, like, how much my tattoo is going to be. And they're like, wow, like, you must be going to someone good. I'm like, well, it's going to be on me forever.
So. Yeah. That's another reason I'm not covered is because I want to make sure that, like, I've got good work on me. And people that know how to put work on that sticks.
Yeah.
Coming from a clean shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yep. And then I was looking up, in Japan, it's still a gray area. It's still not technically legal. They still don't have, like, it's not like here tattoo shops have, like, certificates and because it's all legal. But in Japan, no one has a certificate, really, because it's not technically legal, but it's not technically illegal. Huh. There's no standards. Like, every shop, there's no one really monitoring it. And, like, if you go to the right people, they're keeping it clean anyway. Mm. So, but it's still, I really would love to get some there. There's... I'm, you know, too poor to, like, fly to California, so how would I go to Japan and hotel and tattoo and food? No. So. Oh, you were talking about going to Meow Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Is it still on, or did they reschedule it?
I don't know. I haven't looked, but I know it's on the 26th, so.
You should, because we were going to go to Power Man 5000 here at the Black Sheep, and then they just rescheduled for March.
I'll have to look. I wonder if.
I feel
it's still going on, I hope. I don't know. Because of COVID and all that.
But. Yeah. I tried to make an appointment to to get a shot for next week, and the CVS website was being lame. It would, like, I went through all the questions, mm-hmm. and then I clicked make an appointment, and then it told me my session had timed out. I was like, okay. So then I started the process over again, and I literally went as fast as I could, and it still told me my session timed out. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. So I'm going to go back later and try to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's it for us.
That's it. That's the show.
I was going to be like, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. But that's, we're on a podcast.
You can check in, but you can't check out.
Oh, yeah. When I was reading that Bailet's Hotel, I almost said the Bates Motel. Oh. Like, that's not right. Sorry. All right. Well. What was our new slogan going to be for, oh yeah, stay sweet or?
Stay dead or?
Stay. Oh. No.
Just kidding. Stay sweet and stay bummed.
Stay bummed. Stay sweet. It's a work in progress.
One of these days. We'll get it one day.
Yeah. One of these days. All right. Bye.
Bye.